Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, will the Cowboys sweep the Eagles on Sunday? Plus, the Rambassador, Eric Dickerson, explains why he thinks the Rams will take down the Bears. And will LeBron bring Carmelo Anthony to L.A.? Skip Shannon. Let's get to it. All right, huge game in the NFC East on Sunday between the Cowboys and Eagles on Fox. Mm-hmm. And we are now joined by FS1 NFL analyst Eric Dickerson.
Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jenny. How you
picked
doing?
A good day to be here for this debate. So big conversation here. I will start with you, Eric. Who wins on Sunday?
Well, I know who's going with what team, and I know what team he's going with for sure. But I got to say this, Skip. You should thank me. You should thank me. Really, you should.
That jersey.
Exactly.
That
ever
jersey.
Since I gave you that jersey.
You did.
Ever since I gave you that jersey, your Cowboys have been winning.
He'll That's get a back good to point. You on Monday.
Do you have any more gifts today?
No, I got to need some more gifts. You know, I'm just going to start off and say who I think is going to win. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you.
For a couple of reasons. Their defense is playing probably the best football defense, best out of any defense in the National Football League. One thing I like about their defense, Banderish, mm-hmm. the Ooh. Linebacker, you know, Jalen Smith. I like the way they tackle, you know, and I saw that against the New Orleans Saints. One thing I got to say, my team, the Rambassador has to say, his team did not tackle well. You know, in open field against, what's the word, Kamara, mm-hmm. you know, we couldn't tackle him.
Right.
You know, Jalen Smith tackling one-on-one, Banderish mm-hmm. tackling one-on-one. I mean, when you can tackle in the NFL, and that's what it's all about. If you can play great defense and get your offense going, you can win football games. Now, we know the Dallas Cowboys are a running football team. Don't get this confused. They're a running football team first. You have Dak Prescott, who controls the game. All of a sudden, when everything opens up now, because he has Amari Cooper, you know, Gallup is playing better with Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. that running game gets going. You've got a couple of different options. So for me, in this football game, I have to take the Dallas Cowboys. They're playing the best. I always say, you know, you get hot at the right time. They're getting hot at the right time. They got the components at the right time. They've got their guys coming back at the right time. DeMarcus Lawrence said about the Saints, let's choke them out. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to choke out the Ooh. Eagles this week.
Ooh. I mean, you're right. They're getting hot. The Cowboys getting hot, but
somebody getting cold feet across from them.
But you know what? Feet? You're right, Ed. They are getting hot, but I don't feel the fireman. Oh, walking to him, he coming to put him out.
He's
going to
extinguish. Fireman?
Yeah,
I think he starts his own fire.
Whatever, Skip Bayless. Look, I believe the Eagles will play their best football game because they know it's either now or never. Mm. They're not going to make the playoffs as a wild card. So you either win this game and take the number and be tied for theoretically you'd be in the first in the NFC East. So I believe they'll play their best football. They need to get off to a fast start. Last year, they were 2 in first quarter scoring. This year, they're dead last in first quarter scoring. So they're putting themselves behind and they're having to play catch up. I believe they start fast. And you're right. This is a running football team. There's no coincidence that this thing started to take off when they started handing that ball to Zeke Elliott. And all of a sudden, it was 110, 120, 150 in the run game. So now you can play action, fake that ball in Zeke's belly. Guys are running one-on-one, and they're wide open. They'll shut that down. They got to take a I don't know why teams
I got to write that down. They'll shut that down. I'm going to save this for Monday. They'll shut that down.
Take Zeke away.
Zeke away.
And if Dak can throw the ball. When's the last time Dak had a 300-yard passing game? When's the last time he thrown for 3 touchdowns? Force him to do that.
When's the last time he won a football game? Oh, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
But you know, it's not about that. You know, when you think about it, like I said, the Cowboys are a running team.
Yes.
And they're able to run the football because of Amari Cooper has made a big difference with that football team.
Yeah.
And you know that. Like you said, now they can play action. They've got to bite on. In football, if you just take that one step, one quick step, you beat. You beat.
24-20, Eagles. Mm. And on Monday, number one, first place in the NFC East will be
Cry Eagles cry on Monday.
You will be crying.
You're going to talk about a call.
You're going to talk about they need to get rid of Jason Gay. Watch what you do. I know you.
I already predicted the first thing I'm going to talk about is bounce it to him wins because he's going to make one mistake. one mistake in this game that is going to be monumental and is going to shift the momentum and shift the balance of power in the NFC East back to Dallas where it rightfully belongs. And I'll be the first to admit, this will be a battle. It'll be classic NFC East because the Philadelphia Eagles are still the defending Super Bowl champs fighting for their lives. So they got to win this game.
Got to. Mm-hmm.
They got to.
It's an absolute must.
But Dallas will win this game. I'm going to go with the same score it was in Philadelphia, 27-20. And I'm still not exactly sure how Dallas saved its season by winning 27-20 at Philadelphia because my number one concern, as I said earlier in the show, I got three of them, Zach Ertz. He's everywhere. He kills Dallas. He caught 14 balls for 145 yards and two touchdowns at Philadelphia.
We'll get two more.
Those are career high. It was his career best game. It's season highs across the board. In fact, those are the best tight end numbers in the last 4 years in the National Football League were Zach Ertz's against Dallas at Philadelphia, and they still managed to overcome it.
The 14 catches was a high.
16 targets for 14 catches. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'd call all 16, but that's
well. I asked him. Was that a big game? He said no. I'd have 180. Right? 180.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying you're better than Zach Ertz?
I ain't said nothing.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm gonna let them be that Zach Ertz uncle or something.
Do you think you could outrun Zach Ertz right now?
No.
Really?
I get Jason Witten though.
You could probably get Jason.
I know. Oh, I know. I get Jason.
I know Esher.
I know who else I got.
I know Esher.
Oh,
we ain't going there. Let's get back to football.
You see how he won't get his skin with his back. Back hurt.
My back fine today.
Today.
So I'm trying to figure out if they're going to have a new plan for Zach Ertz because every time it's 3rd and 7, I just say cover 86. Carson Wentz is codependent on 86. They're best friends. It's his security blanket. It's by far his favorite receiver. He's caught so many more targets than anybody on the team. It's just, it's like a joke how many more
touches. Why would you want to change the plan? The plan last time, it worked.
I don't know.
He caught all those balls, but you won.
So is it the classic case of just let him eat and we'll just stop everybody else?
As long as you win, you really care?
Okay. They didn't really have Golden Tate. It was his first game in Philadelphia, and he just caught a couple of balls. Now they got Golden Tate, who torched Dallas when he was with Detroit on September 30th. You think so?
Yep.
Is that your prediction?
I said 24-20.
Yeah.
We got a case on it, too.
We got 7 cases on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Got 3 on Dallas winning the East. You got 3 on Philadelphia winning the East. And we got an extra case just on Sunday.
Y'all got a lot of cases. I'm going to say my score is 28-17 Dallas. But I got to say this. Now, the Cowboys getting the playoffs. Now, just by chance, if they come here to play the Rams, Skip, you've got to promise me you're going to go to the game with me.
He's bad.
Come on, Skip. Just for a quarter.
If they lose, he going to swear to all Skip. The reason they lost, he went
come
to the
on,
game.
Skip.
I can't concentrate.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I helped your team.
If I go stand on the sidelines and everybody's yelling at me, take that. Take that!
No, that ain't from the fans.
How about putting a box?
Those guys on the field.
That's true.
Of course, if I did win, I could just throw it out.
Exactly. Oh, and we know. And who front runs better than Skip Bayless?
Shannon Sharp.
No. But that's okay. Your day coming.
So, in the end, all I know is my defense just came of age with the most stunning and impressive defensive performance in the history of the Dallas Cowboys against a Drew Brees who came in playing the greatest quarterback season in history. No quarterback has had better numbers than Drew had coming into this game. It was by far the hottest offense in the NFL, even hotter than yours, and yours has been really good.
Yep.
And my defense held that offense to 10 points. Think about that, 10 points. And I've told Shannon, every other Drew Brees game I've ever watched, 4 or 5 times in the game, I'll sit back and say, how did that guy get so open? Because there'll be somebody running up the seam just wide open, somebody I don't even know whose name is, some undrafted free agent. In the Dallas game, in a big night game, Thursday night football on Fox, I didn't see one open receiver the whole game. Every catch was contested. My defense has come of age. It can cover, it can run, and it can hit. And to your point, it can open field tackle like crazy, sideline to sideline. My defense is playing at a higher level than your Eagles' defense.
Yeah, well, that's not saying much considering they gave Adrian Peterson 1 carry for 90 yards. But anyway, first of all, I know a guy that has not had a bad game all year. He's going to win the MVP, my homeboy. But anyway, we're not talking about that.
Who?
Pat, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, come on, dog. Oh,
what? He's going to lose Sunday.
Come on.
To who?
The Ravens.
Oh, we're
gonna Ravens are going to get
it. I got something to say about that.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to pick that game.
Well,
but your day, the Eagles going to summon this thing up.
Yep. Okay, so it's a quarterback's game, and in the end, one or the other quarterback is going to make the play to win the
game. You already
know
which
one. I know you say it's Zeke, and you're the greatest running back ever, and I get all that. But in the end, my quarterback makes big plays at big moments, sometimes with his legs.
Big mistakes at big moments, too.
Well,
he's the guy that I liked when I saw him 2 years ago.
You did.
And that, now I see that guy again because he has what? He has weapons.
Mm-hmm. He
got
one.
No weapons. Well, he got two. He got Zeke.
Okay. But I'm talking about receiver weapons. He's still a weapon.
You like Michael Gallup? You told me, say, oh, yeah, he's coming along.
He's a rookie.
I can't believe I'm getting Cowboys credit.
Are you a Cowboy?
You are.
Bite my tongue. No mercy.
Support for Undisputed comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you've found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/undisputed. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030. No
mercy. Back to the NFL. The Rams have the best record at 11-1, but they'll have a tough task in Chicago on Sunday night in what should be very cold temperatures. The Rams' high-powered offense is averaging nearly 35 points a game, but the Bears' defense is only giving up 20 per game. Mitch Trubisky, he's expected to return from a shoulder injury after missing Chicago's last two games. Eric Dickerson, a.k.a. our Rambassador, he's still with us. Eric, when you look at this matchup, do you think the Rams will stumble in Chicago?
Who'd you say got the best record again?
The Rams.
The Rambassador's in the house. Of course not, we're not going to stumble. Let me tell you one thing about cold weather. And you know this very well also. When it comes to cold weather, when the game starts, everybody's cold. Now, if you fall behind early, like it's down 14-0, 21-0, all of a sudden, it'd what do you colder. Start doing? You start looking at that clock and like, man, it's getting chilly out here. It's getting chillier. Now, if you're winning or the game is very close or you take the lead, it's not cold at all.
Not cold.
Not at all. We have an offense that can score. That's the most important thing. We have a defense that is coming on. So for me, I'm not even worried about this game. I mean, I'm going to tell you the game I had circled on my calendar was the New Orleans Saints game. That was the game I was really concerned about. This game, I'm really not. I know that the Chicago Bears have a great defense. They do. They play very good defense with Khalil Mack. The guys up front, they play. The secondary plays well. But our offense, we can move the football. On defense, we have to do our job. You know, they can move the ball. I still think that we'll get to Trubisky. He's a young quarterback. I saw him play a month ago. They played against the Bucs. And I was impressed, but I wasn't impressed because a lot of open receivers. I think he had 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Six.
He should have had 10.
He should have
had 10. Because I'm like, man, these guys wide open. He's missing them. So it's going to be cold for them, too. So for me, I like my Rams in this football game. I like them a lot. And let's go back to one thing. We're talking about the MVP. We're talking about the MVP. To me, the MVP should be Aaron Donald. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it should be.
Oh, he's going to get some votes.
Let me tell you. But he should not get some votes. He should be the MVP. 32 years ago, you know who's the MVP?
LT.
Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. I was in the running. I had 1,821 yards. I didn't even
you
get close.
You had Dan. Dan had like 40.
I didn't even get close. One thing about, when you think about Mahomes, he sacked. I think he had 4 sacks, 3 sacks in that game. Mm-hmm. 2 of them for touchdown. He made what you say, your MVP looked like an average guy. Right. And we talk about defensive players. He's the only guy for his defense everybody's talking about. It's no doubt that Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the National Football League. I find myself, an offensive player, saying, man, let me watch what Aaron's doing.
You know,
I'm watching. And every guy, man, they're like, man, that guy is amazing. He's amazing what he does. So for me, my MVP is Aaron Donald. I'm putting it out there. And I'm sorry. I know I'm being biased because I'm the Ram ambassador, but hey, he's the greatest football player on defense right now.
He is. I'm going to take the Rams in a close game. I think the game will be a lot closer. It's not going to be as high scoring. Only once have the Rams not gotten to at least 29 points, and that was against the Denver Broncos. But for the most part, they're going to be normally getting the 30s. But I think because of the weather and because of the Bears have a very good defense, that this game will be close. The thing that concerns me about your Rams is that they're terrible against the rush. And the one thing the Chicago Bears can do is to keep your offense off the field. They can run the football. And when you run the football, you can control pace, you can control time of possession, keep the high power, because you guys can score. I mean, you got Brandon Cooks, who's if he's not already over 1,000 yards, he will be after this game. Robert Woods right at 1,000 yards. Todd Gurley leading the league in rushing, leading the league in touchdowns scored. So, you guys have the firepower and the potential to put Chicago in a serious hole. But the question is, can you stop them? And I love the addition with Tlaib coming back. Marcus Peters cannot go back to, you know, playing the way he normally played. Mm-hmm. Tlaib will take the best receiver, put hands on him. And I agree with you defensively, but getting after the quarterback. But you got to be a leery of Trubisky, Skip. He runs better than you think. And when he breaks the pocket, he's not looking to throw the ball over your head. He's looking to take off. So we saw that game against the what? I think it was against New England. He had 10 rushes for 81 yards. He's running. I think he's third in rush yards for quarterback. So I'm going to take the Rams in a very close ball game. But would I be surprised if the Bears upset them? No. But I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I can see something like 23-20 Rams winning.
All of which is why, sitting right next to the Ram ambassador, I'm going to take the Bears.
I should throw this pin at you.
You should. I'm sorry. I had circled this game several weeks back because this is your first really cold weather.
True.
This is going to be low 20s, nighttime. And I remember what happened to your guys at Seattle last year, and it wasn't like brutally cold, but it was pretty cold that night.
We beat them in the ground.
But they dropped a lot of balls.
We beat them in the ground, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I just saw I saw the warm weather team look shaky.
But we beat them in the ground. Right. I mean, beat them into submission.
Y'all had four. I think y'all scored 40 on them.
Yeah, we beat them into submission.
So this is different. This is a different place with a different scheme, and they do run the ball. And to the point about Trubisky, he's back, and he doesn't have a leg injury. He's got a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to affect his ability to use his legs. He is averaging 7.1 yards per carry. That leads the NFL. So he is more of a running I don't like him throwing the football. So he is more of a runner than a thrower, which I never saw coming out of North Carolina. I had no idea that was going to happen. And
But you'll throw it to the other team. He will do that.
At your, huh?
So they will run it and run it and run it some more. And I just don't love your guys in on that field, on that night, in that kind of weather. And it is a night game, which makes it the cold is worse at night.
This reminds me of a game we played in 1986 after the Bears won the Super Bowl. We went up to Chicago, and same kind of setup. Bears, you know, great defense. And we beat them 20-17. That's what I'm going with that score, 20-17. We ran the football. I think I carried the ball 32 times. I think I had touched it 32 times. I think I had 111 yards rushing and like another 40 receiving. And that's what we have to do.
What were your numbers from the NFC Championship game the year before?
I think I had 50 yards rushing and I think no yards receiving. But even in that game, a good example, in that game there, they jumped on us 10-0. Right before half, we had a chance to kick a field goal. We called a timeout. It was a discrepancy over the timeout. When we looked in and we didn't get that field goal at halftime, all of a sudden, it got just a little bit colder out there.
It did.
Because it wasn't cold at first. I'm telling you, Skip, players know this. When you're in the game, the cold does not bother you. When you're out of the game.
Yeah, you come to the sideline.
You come to the sideline, and they say, all right, offense. You're like, man, we got to go back out there again. What you talking about?
Them heaters. Them heaters.
They got heaters out there. Them heaters don't seem as well.
Plus, that was the most physical defense I ever saw, including your Ravens.
2000 Ravens.
Oh, yeah. They hit out there. So I'm going with the Rams 20-7.
And you know that? Now they have soup. They have broth on the sidelines. You'll be like, all right, let me get this last little drink.
Yeah.
You don't want to go back out in that cold.
Hmm. So your Rams open is only a 4-point favorite, and it's been bet down to three points. Interesting.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
You doing all that betting?
Huh?
You laying some heavy wood down there on it?
I'm not going to bet a penny on this. I just have a little feeling this is going to happen. This is the one that I circled where you are going to stumble.
You ain't get your protein shake. This wasn't
the one I was worried about. I'm telling you, the cold, if you can't score, like if you have an offense, like you just have a great defense, your offense struggles. We don't have a struggling offense. We can score points. You know, we really can. So I'm not worried about that part of it.
And finally, to your point about MVP, I'm sorry, but the first time Aaron Donald jumped off my screen was against Mahomes in that night game.
Hmm.
Your defense has been overrated and underachieving all year until that point. And maybe it's because of the Tlaib injury. I'll give you that. And he is back. But your defense was giving up points in the 20s. You know, like, I mean, they're ranked in the 20s in points allowed up until that night. Now they started to come together, but he can't win MVP off his first, I don't know, 10
well,
games
this
year.
Well, here's the thing. Oh. Skip, you remember when J.J. Watt, when people said he was the best player.
You said that.
J.J. Watt had 20 and a half sacks and had like 5 or 6 touchdowns. And he didn't win MVP. In a scoring league, the quarterbacks are putting up the numbers that just got it.
You know, it's sad that
it is.
It's nobody else gets a look. It's got to be the quarterback.
It's going to be a quarterback unless the running back does what Adrian Peterson did the last time a running back won it.
Wait a minute, hold it. Didn't he share it with Peyton Manning, didn't he?
No, he won it outright.
Did he win it
in 2011,
I didn't even win it. I think I had 2,000 yards. I didn't even win it that year. What's up? What's going
2012. I think it was 2012.
Wait a sec.
2012.
Got to stand up for everyone else.
Well, once again, the Rambassador is going with his Ram. Not because I
mean, you would have won.
Not because I love my team, but we're going to win this.
You would have won it the sophomore year had Dan Marino not did what he did.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about
that. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks for being here.
No mercy. The Heisman race is coming down to the wire between Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa. Murray has a slight edge going into tomorrow's announcement, according to the odds makers. But the QBs split 4 major awards at last night's college football ceremony. Tua was favored to win the Heisman most of the season, but he struggled against Georgia in the SEC championship game before injuring his ankle. So let's look at the numbers between these two quarterbacks this season. Kyler Murray has more passing yards, more touchdowns, more rushing yards, but he did throw more interceptions than Tua. And of course, Tua's Alabama team was a perfect 13-0 this season. So Shannon, you look at the numbers, you look at the season.
And be honest.
Who wins the Heisman?
I believe Tua should and will win the Heisman. You look at what he's able to do. And Skip liked to use the term degree of difficulty. He used that quite often.
Please use it on this argument. I dare you.
You're going to let me?
I'm waiting.
Oh, yeah, if you're waiting while you interrupted
me. I can't believe you just walked into a trap you set.
No, you said it.
Huh?
Skip tells me he loves to use the term degree of difficulty. I believe Tua's degree of difficulty playing in the SEC. Now, I don't know if you watched the College Awards show last night, Jenny, but let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
The Thorpe Award winner, which is the nation's best defensive back.
True.
The Buckus Award winner, which is the nation's best linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
The Bignarik, which is Defensive Player of the Year, and the Gursky Award winner. All of those came from the SEC.
Yes.
That's what Tua is going up against.
How many were Alabama players? How many were his teammates?
Skip.
His teammates.
Jenny.
I know.
Jenny, can you instruct Skip not to interrupt me? It's so unbecoming.
Okay. Sorry. Shannon, continue, please.
Thank you. 7 of the top 25 scoring defenses in the country resides in the SEC. Guess how many top 25 scoring defenses reside in the Big 12, Skip Bayless? You can answer if you like.
Well, it's because they have all the top offenses in that league.
Oh, so you're not allowed to play. So if you have a top offense.
Yeah.
So in other words, Alabama should not be allowed to have the number 2 offense in football and a top 5 defense in football. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, the SEC was down this year by all metrics and measurements.
The metrics said they had the number 1 conference in all of football. That's what the metrics say. They have the best defensive players. That's what the awards say.
They all play for Alabama.
No, Skip. No. The Buckets Award winner went to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The Bignarik Award winner went to a guy from Kentucky. The Thorpe Award winner went to Georgia, who they just played and beat in the SEC title game. Now, with that being said, Skip, can you please not interrupt you? Again, Tua sat out fourth quarter. He sat out the equivalent of 2.5 ball games.
Because they're all mismatches. I'm sorry.
When you play at Alabama, unless you play in the Cleveland Browns or the Patriots, everybody's a mismatch.
Oh.
So would you
Except
please
Georgia.
Stop? Have we beaten Georgia twice? Mm. We beat them for the national championship, and we beat them for the SEC title.
But that was last year.
We just played them last week for the SEC title.
I'm saying you beat them last year.
Okay.
You shouldn't have beat them this time.
I don't do what we should have done.
Okay.
Now, can I carry on? Had Tua played the 10 quarters that he sat out in the fourth quarter, keeping his current pace at which he was throwing touchdowns. Jenny, did you realize that's an extra 9 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
Since instead of 37, that would be 46.
So they would have won 60-7 instead of 50-7?
No. He would have had 46 passing touchdowns as opposed to 37.
That's called stuffing the stat sheet. Go ahead.
I don't.
It's called running up the score is what it is.
And that's what Coach Saban doesn't do. Mm-hmm. Coach Saban has dignity. Yeah. But what he's done, he's taken a coach that's won 5 national championships at Alabama, and he's turned it into the formula that, you know, when you talk Alabama, you no longer the first thing out of your mouth is not paying bone-crushing defenses.
Mm.
Is that you see that high-flying offense? They're the number 2 scoring offense in all of football, averaging 48 points a game.
Mm.
So, the 2018 recipient of the Heisman Trophy goes to University of Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa.
And I would like to bet one more case of due on that. I'll take Kyler for one case. Will you accept, Mr. Sharp?
Go ahead and make your argument. Huh? Let's see what your argument sound like.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, so somebody's got cold feet.
No, I got a cold feet.
Because you've said for weeks this is over, right? And now it doesn't look so over because my guy, Kyler Murray, is the Las Vegas betting favorite. And I know they split the awards, and you can interpret that many different ways.
I think we'll have a historically close race.
Okay, we probably will, and they both deserve their share of accolades because both had a great year until the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. But Kyler Murray should win it, and he will win the Heisman Trophy because Kyler Murray just finished with the greatest QBR season in quarterback history in college football, the greatest ever. Every time Kyler Murray touched the football, throwing it or running it, he averaged 11 yards per play. He averaged more than a first down every time he touched the football. And his offense merely set the all-time record in college football for yards per play. And this is where I just close the case. Kyler Murray carried the worst good team defense in college football history all the way to the playoffs. That's impossible because the Oklahoma defense, and I watched every snap of every game, and I dreaded watching every snap because the Oklahoma defense finished in pass defense 129th of 130 FBS schools. Mm-hmm. 129 of 130, and somehow Kyler Murray lifted that defense into the fourth playoff slot. It's just impossible.
And guess what, Skip?
So, I think it's my turn. Okay. So in points allowed, Oklahoma finished 96th in the nation. Think about that. 96th, they weren't even the top 100. Alabama finished 4th in points allowed. 4th versus 96th. So Tua never had any pressure on his shoulder pads to have to outscore the opposition.
There's always pressure. You're in Alabama.
Kyler Murray knew nearly every game he had to score 50-something to win the game because he's going to have to outscore 40-something or maybe 50-something as it was that night at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. That Friday night, was he not sensational in the clutch?
He got outplayed by Will Greer, who threw for 550 and 5 touchdowns.
59-56. Oklahoma 59, Will Greer 56. Way
hold
to go.
On. What about Oklahoma's defense?
It was
How many touchdowns did they get?
It was horrendous.
It was
just horrendous.
Go ahead and make a
point. Kyler Murray finished with 51 total touchdowns to Tua's 42. 51-42.
9 quarters he didn't play, Skip.
That's true. A pretty big drop-off. And this is sad but true. Kyler closed his case by saving his very best for last. because in the Big 12 championship game, he avenged OU's lone loss by throwing for 379 yards with three touchdowns and no interceptions against Texas. That's a QBR of 93.
That was unbelievable.
While Tua had a nightmare game against Georgia. His first credible opponent all year was Georgia. And Tua goes 10 for 25 for 164 yards with two interceptions.
Skip.
His QBR that day against Georgia was 15. That's a scale of 0 to 100. So Kyler's worst QBR of the whole year was 75. Tua's last Saturday was 15. And if Tua hadn't, unfortunately, I'm knocking on wood for him, if he hadn't gotten hurt, Alabama might not have made it to the championship, to the playoffs, because Alabama would have lost that game.
Okay.
Sorry.
You said Kyler avenged in the Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, can I ask you a question? I don't really know what the meaning of avenge is. Can you avenge something if it never happened? Because Alabama don't have to avenge anything because they never lost.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay, Skip, you made a very interesting point.
They had no tests the whole year. They finally played a credible opponent in Georgia.
Jenny,
and what happened?
It's my turn, Skip.
I think you interrupted my turn.
No, I didn't. You were finished. You said, go ahead. Okay, Skip, you say yards per play, pass or rush. Kyler averaged 11 yards, which led the nation. If you don't mind, tell the people who was number two at home. the guy was there 50 seconds. Can you tell the people who finished second? Because you're making it seem like Tua finished 75th.
I didn't say anything about Tua.
Oh, Tua was right there behind him at 10.48.
Okay, but
so
again,
both of them averaged the first down every time they touched the ball, either pass or run.
I'll repeat, 51 touchdowns to 42 touchdowns because the single most electrifying runner in all of college football this year is the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray. Trust me on this. I've been watching this game for a long time, and I don't think I'm even going out on a limb to tell you this. The quickest feat I've ever seen in a runner in college football is not Barry Sanders. It's not Michael Vick. It's certainly not Lamar Jackson, who's more straight line speed. He has to get unwound a little bit. It's Kyler Murray.
Skip.
I've never seen more electric feet.
Skip.
I'm talking about.
Exactly. He's 4'3". I mean, how many steps do you think he's supposed to step?
Look at this. He's just gone.
Skip.
Just gone.
He's not 4'3".
Gone.
Okay, my bad, Jenny. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
I've interviewed him. We're pretty close.
You hear what Jenny's saying?
Now, Jenny interviewed him.
Jenny interviewed him, and Jenny is 5'8". Yep. And Jenny said, he looked me out of
Jenny said, feet. Look at the feet.
Jenny said, normally when I interview people, I got to stand on the apple crate. She said, when I talked to Tyler Murray, I had to take my heels off.
Yeah, you're trying to Jenny distract the viewers from what we're watching. Look, this is against Texas. This got them back in the game. Jenny was there.
Hold up.
She was there.
Hold up.
It was spectacular.
It got you back in the game. Jenny,
bye.
Can you tell the people that, who
bye.
In the Red River
we'll
Rivals.
See you later.
Who won that game?
Bye. Yeah.
So you keep telling me that Oklahoma.
My defense gave up, what was it, 48? 48?
The
Sam Ellinger?
Too many.
Sam Ellinger's not that good.
Did Kyler Murray turn the ball over two times?
He did.
So he went a long way in helping Texas win the game. Okay, Skip, you know what, Skip, I just love you.
You know what, it's over.
No, it's not.
You know what, it would be a shame if Kyler Murray didn't win the
title. No, it would not be
after
no shame.
After all
he's
done for
Stop
that
it.
Team, it would
Don't
be a
do that,
shame.
Skip. You keep
it just would be.
You see what he tries to do, Jenny? He's like, well, Oklahoma had the 90th ranked scoring defense in all the nation.
96.
Everybody he's going up against was in the 80s.
Mm.
So what's the difference?
Yeah. So the last four games before the Big 12 championship game, that defense allowed 40-plus points in four straight wins for Oklahoma. That's impossible.
And West Virginia got jobbed.
Got jobbed?
And you know who led the nation in scoring defense, Skip?
Mm.
You know who led the nation in scoring defense? Mississippi State led the nation in scoring defense. Mm. Alabama hung 24 on them and shut them out.
Mm. Yeah. Way to go. Well, that's impressive.
LSU finished 21st in scoring defense. Had they not given up 70...
I don't think LSU could score on Oklahoma. That's how bad their offense
Oklahoma
is.
Oklahoma definitely wouldn't be scoring on them.
Yeah.
Well, now you skip.
Kyler Murray will pick anybody to pieces because he can throw it as well as he runs.
Well, we're about to find out December 29th.
This is the greatest dual threat I've ever seen in college football.
Now remember,
dual threat.
Now, when we come in here and we discuss this game, I don't want to hear anything because you just said Kyler Murray can pick anybody apart. Mm-hmm. He's going to get an opportunity to do what you said he can do against anybody on December 29th, Jenny. Now, you heard him say it.
Yeah. And very likely his best receiver is gone for the season.
I don't want to hear that.
Well, very likely.
Oh, so now you're
And all I want to hear is it Jalen Hurts or Tua? Because if it's Jalen Hurts, I'm in trouble. If it's Tua, maybe I got a shot.
Nah, okay. Wow. No.
Yeah.
Tua doesn't play defense.
Tua lost his way, his momentum.
You just
I think he lost his confidence against Georgia. I've never seen such a disaster.
Playing Oklahoma, you get it right back.
Huh.
First drive, you get it right back playing Oklahoma.
Well, he should.
Should.
The 129th ranked pass defense?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that team in the playoffs?
That don't have anything to do with
How do you get them in there? I want to know.
How do you do that? You just said that
it's the greatest feat ever.
You just said Kyler Murray can pick anybody apart. He's going to get a chance to prove your theory correct on December 29th.
All I know is he got them in the playoffs, which was it's an all-time – he has all-time feat, F-E-E-T, and it was an all-time F-E-A-T. That's what happened.
Jenny. The dude, Jenny said, Shannon, when I interviewed him, I had to take my heels off. She said, I'm standing in my
pantyhose. I'm standing in
my pantyhose. My pantyhose dirty because I don't want to towel over it.
Who wears pantyhose?
Honestly? I'm just saying, Jenny, okay. Just go with it. Jenny,
not
go with
me.
It. Jenny, go with it. Go
not
with
me.
It.
Well, I like Kyler. It's hard to go with you on this one.
Jenny, don't do that. But anyway.
He's 5'10".
I bet if they measure at the
car. Generous 5'10".
I guarantee
that. I think it's a generous.
Generous. So whatever they list you, because they list Baker Mayfield at 6'2". How tall was he when the actual combine skipped? 6 1/4.
All I know is
he's 5'10", he's 5'8 3/4".
I'll go on record.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray could be as good as Russell Wilson has been in pro football. That's how good he can be.
And at least we have a compelling race, which is way more exciting. And just to acknowledge, if Kyler wins, he's planning to play pro baseball, which is incredible, the athleticism. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
I'm out. One last Do or no do?
Uh-oh.
Are you going to do the do?
We got another topic coming up.
Somebody is afraid. Thank you. I think I just won that one.
You ain't win nothing.
Way to go, Kyler.
You
congratulations.
Didn't you didn't win anything.
Well.
Okay, we got a lot of bets coming today. No mercy. And the Packers and Browns will both be looking for new head coaches this offseason. Green Bay columnist Pete Doherty wrote that the Cleveland job could be more attractive since they have Baker Mayfield, other young stars, and a salary cap room. Former head coach Bruce Arians said recently that he has no interest in the Packers job and he would only return to coach the Browns. Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, but he allegedly had tension with Mike McCarthy, and an anonymous NFL assistant said any head coach would have to tell Rodgers, quote, I don't work for you, but I do want to work with you.
Ooh.
Shannon, what's the better job, Cleveland or Green Bay?
I think as we currently speak right now, 53 men, I would say the Cleveland Browns. If you really look at it, Skip, the Green Bay Packers have two players on their roster. That's probably better than Cleveland. You look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Devontae Adams. But when you look at 53, that's the entire roster. That's not one or two players. That's 53. It's the Cleveland Browns. Hmm. You look at their defense. They're young. They're talented. As the article mentioned, they have a lot of salary cap.
Hmm.
The Green Bay have two very good offensive linemen, Bulaga and Bakhtiari, but they stay hurt.
Hmm.
They can't even finish a game, let alone a season.
Hmm.
So they stay hurt. So I can see why this drive would be attractive. Baker Mayfield, he looks like he might be the real deal. And the thing is, Skip, I believe it would be easier for a coach to come in and try to work with Baker than, say, Aaron. In the words of Kevin Durant again, Skip, Aaron Rodgers is making this job look toxic.
Ooh, really?
But see, Skip, I was ahead of the curve.
You were completely behind the curve.
No. I've been very abundantly clear that I think Aaron Rodgers is transcendent. I think he's as good that I've ever seen throw the football. But I said his behavior, his arrogance, his smugness, his cavalierness, his finger pointing made it difficult, and not everybody liked it. Well, Skip, everybody knows Mike McCarthy is out of there for one reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't winning.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers sped this process up. And as the guy said that, you know, you have to let him know, I don't work for you. I'm here to work with you. Hmm. And ultimately, I want to accomplish the same thing you want to. Hmm. Win and win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Hmm. But Skip, you know how Aaron Rodgers is. He think the sun, he know, he think he hung the moon. Hmm. He think it don't stink. Hmm. And you know, you here to serve me, what I need. Nah. Hmm. So for me, roster, I'll take Cleveland.
Wow.
So that was quite a confession from Shannon Sharp. That was a very public admission that he has been very wrong about Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm not wrong. Skip, stop it. See, there you go.
It's my turn. This is a quarterback's game, pure and simple, period, end of story. And you have repeatedly told me for years that Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
GOAT.
The GOAT.
Big GOAT.
The
big not GOAT. Lowercase.
Okay. Big GOAT. Cap letters.
Yeah. All
G-O-A-T caps.
Okay. Yeah.
And you have repeatedly told me that you're not all in on Baker Mayfield.
Right.
You have discounted him. You've ripped him,
yep.
slashed
yep.
him,
yep.
torn him apart,
yep.
broke him down.
Yep.
And you said going into the draft that you would take Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield. I said, no, I'm taking Baker number one overall. And now you've come around to say, well, maybe he could be the real deal.
So you said 1 year, I'm not taking anything. One year.
So you realize you just admitted publicly that if you were going to choose a job as a head coach, you would not take the GOAT. You would not take the transcendent quarterback. You'd take a quarterback you have had your doubts about in Cleveland, Ohio.
Did you listen to what I said?
I heard every word
okay,
of it.
Then.
Because you're backpedaling.
How?
And then you're trying to make the case, which is absolutely laughable. You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
I was ahead of the curve. I'm the one who stood right here, dug in for 4 years. Really, if you go back to the old show, you can go back and look 7 years.
Wow.
I said, Aaron Rodgers ain't all that.
Yeah, he is all that.
I have told you this year repeatedly that given how high you're setting his bar, he's the GOAT,
mm-hmm.
that he is simply the most overrated player in the history of the National
Stop
Football
it.
League. And you
that
just admitted it. You just admitted it because you said you will not take the GOAT job. You'll take the Baker Mayfield job.
Skip, but
you're kidding.
No, hey, no. See, what you try to do, you always try to turn it into one. I said roster. And that's what the article is talking about, the roster. You got to have 53. Aaron Rodgers has 20 touchdowns. One interception, but the roster is not conducive for him to win a championship. Look, I believe that injury that happened in the first game of the season, I believe it set him back. I believe it put him behind the eight ball. But Skip, this roster is not built to go to and get to and win a championship. Mm. It's just not. So with that being said, the Browns are going to have like something like $90 million in 2019 in cap space. Mm. Given the young talent, given the ability to go out and free agent, and it looks like John Dorsey knows what the hell he's doing.
Mm.
It looks like they're going to have room to add some pieces to get them going even further in the right direction.
Any team will go only as far as the quarterback can take that said team.
But what about the quarterback that's acting up and you can't get through to him?
Okay.
And it's always going to have to be his way.
I've said this for 10 years.
Does that change? Hold on. Yep. Does that change whether or not he's good or not?
Mm. Yeah, it does.
Stop playing.
It undercuts his ability to perform on the football field. And Aaron Rodgers right now ranks 19th in the NFL in QBR. And believe it or not, he's 28th in completion percentage. 28?
If you don't mind me asking.
Yikes.
So let me, I just want to, just for me, maybe Jenny would like to know this and the people at home that's watching. So Aaron Rodgers just became this way this year. So all the years that he won the MVP, the year that he went to the Super Bowl, he's changed?
So thank you for bringing this up because I really appreciated the article by Pete Doherty,
Doherty.
Right, from Green Bay.
Yep.
In which he points out that the Packers have a star quarterback who's suddenly blemished, and he then goes back into Aaron Rodgers has had two sustained stretches of mediocre play. And the first one, he says, started in a 19-game run, 2015-2016, in which he put up an 8-11 record with an 88.9 rating, and I don't do passer rating because it's bogus, but that's very low.
That's what the NFL uses.
Okay. All right, well, then let's use it right now because that's very low. And then the writer is saying the next stretch of mediocre play came this whole football season, 4-7-1 with a 99.3, and anything under 100 in QB rating is just pathetic, especially by the standards set by the GOAT.
Well,
right?
Considering he has the highest quarterback rating of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He's having an off year.
And I don't know how he still has it if in fact, he still
You do
does.
Know.
Yeah, I don't
You do know.
Know. So, and then Jenny read that quote, and it was really good because the anonymous quote here from a longtime NFL source says that the new coach would have to sit down and say, I want to work with you. Mm-hmm. I can't work for you.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure Aaron would accept that.
Why would you have to explain that to him? Aaron Rodgers, you don't own the team. You are a player on the team. A damn good one.
Yep.
You're the best player on the team. But why would a coach have to come in and say, I want to work with you, not for you?
I don't know.
But Skip, here's the thing. As good as Aaron Rodgers has been, I've always said, and you go back and check the tape, to 2012 when I said it, he's arrogant, he's aloof, he's condescending. And everybody doesn't like playing with or being around Aaron
Rodgers. And he can't be the GOAT. You just can't be. Because if you turn off your teammates.
Everybody like Michael Jordan?
Everybody loved playing with him.
No, stop it.
Because all they did was win.
Stop it, Skip.
Stop it. Seriously.
So
you know what? Nobody didn't like playing with him.
Because let me ask you a question. If I were to go ask Tyquan Underwood, what is his thought of Tom Brady, what do you think he would say?
Probably say, I love playing with him.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
After you put me on Front Street?
He played two games that year and got
cut. And I just asked you a question.
You picked one guy in 18 years. And Tom Brady was perfectly within his rights to go to the bench and say, you ran the wrong route.
No.
Sorry.
So when Tom Brady throws an interception, perfectly okay to come
time
to
out,
me? Tom, you throw an interception.
I've said this before. I've worked with so many expatriates at ESPN and around here. And no one, not one time, has any one of those players said one negative thing about Tom
what
Brady.
What do you think
about him? About you?
What did he say about me?
Well, full of himself, big ego.
No, you made that up. That's you talking.
Yeah, so change the subject. So now we get to the other anonymous quote from another league source who really frames this for a coach thinking about which job would I take if I had the choice. And the coach is saying maybe Aaron Rodgers can play five more years. Maybe. Did the knee screw him up? This is in the quote.
True.
But he goes on to say, or maybe he's got diminished skills, which is what I've been saying. I'm not seeing that guy you've been describing, especially this year. I'm not sure it's there anymore. I'm just not sure. So he's saying, if you're going to take the Green Bay job, you're banking on the quarterback having three or four really good years. And if he doesn't, you're, and it's just parentheses, in trouble. And you know what word he used. You're.
Ugh. Hold on. Wait a minute. Yeah. What job can you take? Mm-hmm. That you don't think the quarterback have five good years. Whatever the job is, Skip Bayless, this is not earth-shattering news.
So there's doubts about the GOAT having four or five more years and he just turned 35? Really?
Oh, so
Tom Brady's 41, and I don't have any doubts about him having three more good years.
Stop it.
Well, I don't.
You're blind. You're blind witness.
I think I'm seeing nothing but truth.
So let me get this straight. So do you believe that Tom Brady over the next 3 years will have better numbers, not win-loss record, better numbers than Aaron Rodgers?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I was reading my next
You
quote.
Believe over the next 3 years, you're just going to take that because Tom says he wants to play till he's 45.
Yes.
Let's just take 3 years. You believe over the next 3 years that Tom Brady will have better passing numbers.
I don't care about passing. I care about wins and losses, and I'll take Tom
Brady's
wins and losses.
That's what a roster's about, Skip.
Oh, because Tom Brady can lift any roster you throw out there.
Oh, really?
He'll lift it to 9-3. This defense was pathetic for the first 6 or 8 games.
And somebody
and they're
kind of,
9-3.
And guess what? You know what? They were pathetic, but they weren't letting people in the end zone. And when they needed to make a play, they made a play. Mm. And that's what they've always done. Mm. You make it seem like they've always had a Ravens 2000 defense or a Bucks 0-2. Mm. No, what they've done is that when you get close to the end zone, they found a way to make you kick field goals or they took the ball away.
And I will finish off my argument by telling you that Teddy Bruschi, the great Teddy, said the other day on WEEI in Boston, in evaluating whether Josh McDaniels should take this job, he concluded that Aaron Rodgers' skill is running out for him. His skill is running out. And what have I been saying? He's 5-6 in the postseason since that long-ago Super Bowl. It was 8 years ago, and you cling to he's the GOAT. Went to one Super Bowl 8 years ago and won it. 5-6 in the postseason since. His skill is running out.
But let this sink
in. It's why you don't want this job.
Let this sink in. Aaron Rodgers' skill is running out. He's 20 touchdowns, one interception. But Brady's on the uptick at 20 touchdowns, 8 picks.
7-1 versus 9-3. That's all you need
again,
to know.
That's a team. Mm. Yep. Again, the roster.
What happened when Aaron Rodgers played Minnesota, and then what happened when Brady played Minnesota?
Different team. Outcome.
Yeah, different outcome. Wait team. A second. Did Tom Brady beat Aaron Rodgers head-to-head? Yes, he did. Did Tom Brady beat Patrick Mahomes head-to-head with 182 yards passing in the fourth quarter? Yes, he did.
Did Aaron Rodgers beat?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Did Aaron
yes,
Rodgers
he did.
Beat Matthew
yes, he
Stafford
did.
Head-to-head?
Yep.
Did Aaron Rodgers beat Matthew Stafford head-to-head?
Mm.
We're going to have to wait.
It sounds like you're in church.
Let's see. No mercy. Let's get to the NBA. You guys save it for Monday. Carmelo Anthony is technically still a Rocket, but according to The Athletic, he could join his good friend LeBron in L.A. The report says LeBron hasn't made a request to Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and isn't expected to, but LeBron and his camp still believe Melo can play. Melo is averaging a career-low 13 points in 10 games this season, but he can't be traded until December 15th. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, should the Lakers sign Melo?
No way. Mm. As we used to say when I was growing up in Ohio, hecky no. I mean, and no disrespect to Melo, but no. No way, no how, as Rob Parker would say. This is LeBron James trying to change the narrative surrounding his good friend Carmelo Anthony. Because the article, as you said, it said he hasn't talked to Magic and Rob Pelinka. And he doesn't plan to talk. He's not going to talk to him. If he really wanted Melo, he could go and say, look, I know they have 15 guys, but you can cut somebody and bring in Melo. I think he could help. But
LeBron, could ask when Melo got bought out by the OKC.
Right.
He could have did that then.
Right. That would have even made more sense if you really thought he was a good fit. But look, he feels bad for his good friend because obviously he was scapegoated in Houston. And while I didn't think he was a good fit there, he clearly wasn't the problem or the only problem. But the narrative is now nobody wants him. LeBron says this is not only my good friend, but a great player, a Hall of Fame player, and the narrative is nobody wants him. So he wants to change it from nobody wants him to not only do people want him, the best player in the world wants him, you know. But this is not a basketball fit. I believe LeBron would know that. Because when you watch, look, after the 0-3 start, Skip, they're playing on a 58-win pace. Think about that. They're 51-win pace overall. But take away the 0-3 start, which we understand you're getting to know each other, and a 58-win pace. You don't want to mess with that.
Mess it up.
You got their best, obviously, when LeBron's dominating the ball, but he's not going to do that 48 minutes. And then the other, their best when he's not dominating the ball, when that's moving. When that ball is swinging around, everybody's getting involved. Melo, get it. It's going to stop. He's going to do his thing. And he can still do it. But Melo at this stage is like a older, more polished version, better jump shooting version of Michael Beasley. Beasley gets in there, and he goes one-on-one. Everybody stands around and watches, and he scores on some funky move. But that he's playing 7 minutes a game because they know that's not what we need.
Right.
And the sad thing is LeBron is in his camp. All right, Melo still can play. He just doesn't fit anywhere. A bad team that's obviously they're trying to develop young players and get better, they don't need him. A good team, you're going to be a role player. And this is why I said 2 months ago, Melo should retire. Either retire or accept a Paul Pierce role late in his career or a Vince Carter role right now. Melo doesn't want that, which I'm fine with. You're a superstar. You don't want that.
X.
But you got to retire.
X.
Yeah, X, but you got to retire. Right. Like, you're not – you. The only way you keep playing is be a role player.
It's simple as this, Skip. No, leave this alone. Skip, Melo's been in the climb for 5 years. And I don't care how great you are, there will come a time when no one will want you. As great as LeBron is, there will come a time when no team's going to want LeBron. That's just the way. And guess what? The process just sped up for Melo. I get it, because Melo's looking at like, hold on, wait a minute. I came in with LeBron. How is he still the best player in the world and nobody wants me? Oh, for whatever reason the case may be, Skip. Maybe LeBron devoted more of his time. Maybe he had more God-given ability. He worked harder to stay at that level than Melo did. For whatever the reasons. Okay, we saw the last 3 years at the Knicks. Everybody, whoa, Melo, get to a better situation. He went to OKC. It didn't work. At what point in time do we keep saying, well, the Knicks were bad and OKC was bad and Houston wasn't Melo? At what point in time is it Melo? Because Melo is that sanitation truck. Mm-hmm. You got to dump it down to him and beep, beep, right. beep. Skip, the ball's not moving with Melo. Why can't everybody see? And the thing is that, well, you know, you hear KD say Melo can still play, and D-Wade say Melo can still play. And if LeBron says it, but where? Mm. For who?
Right.
Because if you wanted, if LeBron really wanted someone, he should have traded for Kyle Korver.
Yep.
Kyle Korver will fit more for the Lakers need and can use than Carmelo. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you bring Carmelo, Skip, I thought you was trying to develop the young players.
Mm.
Who the hell you going to move? I mean, so that means he going to cut into somebody minutes. Kuzma, B.I.,
he would.
Josh Hart. So are you trying to develop or are you not? Leave us alone, man. Look here. Carmelo can do Melo can do whatever. Nah, he ain't even Melo no more. He Carmelo.
Yeah.
It used to be Melo when he was one of the top five or seven players in the NBA. He was Melo. Now he's Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to make a decision, Skip. I'm going to accept playing 10, 15 minutes a night, and I'm never going to be what I once was. And you have to accept that, because if you think you're going to be a guy that's going to play heavy minutes mm-hmm. and they're going to rely on, bruh, you're not that. You're not going to be Lou Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So just accept the 10, 15, 12 minutes a night and keep it moving. Or come on up here and we'll have you on. You can be an analyst for us on the rig.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We hired, too.
That's
we hired. We hired Carmelo.
I mean, he's no that's Chris Broussard.
I put a word in. I put a word in for you want to come work with me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So to both your points, there was a very interesting piece on ESPN.com yesterday breaking down why Carmelo Anthony is now an anachronism. He is a dinosaur. The NBA has passed him completely by because he is a ball-dominant, mid-range jump shooter. And there's no place for that anymore in the way that basketball is now played. And you can say there's no more beautiful basketball or whatever you want to say, because Popovich has been talking about that. Mm. It's all three-point shooting.
Three's a layup.
Okay? But he doesn't fit anymore. And to your point, LeBron James made a commitment, I don't know, 5 years ago to supreme physical fitness. Not just good, but supreme. He spends money on it, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
He commits to the time in the offseason, and I don't see Carmelo's body reflect that.
Right.
I don't think he did that because he was so gifted. He was never better than he was leading Syracuse as a freshman to the national championship. Mm. And he could just do it. He was so naturally strong. Even Kobe always said, toughest cover for him was Melo. In the low post, if he got it, you just can't stop it. Because it's just powerful, natural strength with physique behind it. But he didn't, as he hit 30, he didn't commit to staying in even a semblance of the kind of shape that LeBron is in. And I know LeBron loves him, and I think Chris Paul loves him even more.
Right.
And so Chris just said, we got to do this. And he pushed for it, and it wrecked the Rockets. And I know they lost a reason in Bamute, and they lost their defensive identity, but the Rockets are just a disaster right now.
Yeah.
They cannot figure out how to get their offense back into any kind of a flow. And they tried to fit Melo in there. Oh, you can shoot threes because we shoot threes. Remember the night he kind of laughed and said, I just shot a three. Oh, really? Yeah? Okay.
And the thing is, Skip, if you look at Mike was able to elevate his game even more and stay there even longer once he got with Tim Grover. So LeBron.
The great Tim Grover.
Yeah.
But they had the Breakfast Club, and he got Scotty and Ron Harper every morning, 6 a.m. at Jordan's house, and they committed to it.
Right, and look at LeBron. They say he spends upwards of $2 million. Mm-hmm. People are on 24-hour call. So he starts the process immediately after the game. It's always, you know, immediately after the game, okay, let's start this process of getting ready for the next game.
Mm-hmm.
How he eats, how much rest he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, to be great, you just don't wake up and say, you know what, I want to be great today. Nah, it's a process.
And the thing is, LeBron, and this is what Melo has to understand, I would disagree, Shannon, where you said it just began prematurely or earlier for Carmelo.
Yeah.
This is natural. LeBron is the aberration.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean, look at Dwayne Wade. He came in that draft, too. He's done.
Yeah.
Dwayne has been able to accept, I'll just be a role player.
Right.
That's the difference.
That's the biggest key.
He's essentially, if Dwayne was going places saying, hey, I got to get my 35 minutes, I got to get my 19 shots like Melo, that he would be in the same position as Carmelo.
And you know what? It hurts my eyes to watch Dwayne Wade right now because I'm a big fan. I was always the biggest fan.
D-Wade, guess what?
No, you're doing that?
There's something to be, like take Vince Carter.
Yeah.
there's a generation now of young people who are growing up saying, that's the best dunker ever? That's who you guys say was the greatest NBA dunker of all time? Like, they're not visualizing Vince like we do.
Right.
No. And that's the danger of staying. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's too long. Look, he's having fun, I guess. But
D-Wade had to figure it out. See, D-Wade had to go to Chicago and realize that he wasn't D-Wade in Miami.
He had some moments, but it wasn't the same.
But that's the thing. And see, we Skip,
he can have a moment.
Well, he had it last year against Philly at Philly in the playoffs.
Remember Melo had that moment against the net where he dropped 28? Yeah. And had about 5 or 6 threes. Yeah. Right. When you're a great player, you can have those moments. Sure. But the really top-notch players, what LeBron can do, those moments are not fleeting. They happen often. Mm-hmm. And when you're past that, they happen ever so often.
Mm-hmm. And see, this is what makes LeBron so great off the court. He's Mr. Kumbaya. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Dan Gilbert called him out. That's all right. I forgive him. I'll go play for him.
That's true.
Bring in D. Rose to Cleveland. Yep. Bring in Tyson Chandler, Rajon. Mm-hmm. Guys I went to war with, battled with. Mm-hmm. I'll forgive.
We
teammates.
That's what we do.
I think LeBron, and this is the difference, obviously, between him and a Michael Jordan. I think when LeBron was facing one of his good friends in a game, his ideal scenario, if you're Melo, is you get your 30. I get my 30, 35, have a great game.
I buy that.
But we win. Mm-hmm. Huh. But I want you to have a great game, whereas a Jordan or Kobe is like, I don't even want you to play well. I want to destroy you and stomp you. But that's LeBron. So he's looking at Melo and saying, I think LeBron understands he's not a fit.
And that's how we
if he
do
was
it.
A fit, he would have got him in the sun.
That's how LeBron do. See, LeBron will let you do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But what I do is so exemplary. You ain't even talking about that. You remember that night when Melo had 50 in the playoffs? Ain't nobody talk about that. Cause LeBron did what? Dropped the hammer on him and got the Knicks right on up out of there. Hmm. So that just lets you know.
That was LeBron's ultimate scenario, right?
Right, right.
That's what he wanted.
My boy got his, I got mine, and we won.
So LeBron's got it going. The ball is moving. The ball is going in the basket for LeBron, and they got another easy win tonight.
No, this will be
one of the easiest of the year.
Oh, I give you one case. I got the Spurs.
You're taking the Spurs?
I got the Spurs.
For a case?
Yep.
Done.
No, I don't bet. I don't bet against LeBron.
What?
You don't bet.
I don't bet against LeBron.
No, he doesn't. That's true. Mm-mm.
You're not going to do it? Come on. I want LeBron. I love LeBron.
No.
I love LeBron. I want him tonight.
Nope. Do you want Pop out of there or something? Yeah. Like, what? Are you down on the Spurs?
I've always been down on Pop. I've always thought he was a little overrated because he had three of the greatest players ever together.
You know what?
So you don't think he's an all-time great? Like top
five?
Do I think he's getting exposed this year? I do.
Look at Phil Jackson. Did Phil Jackson get exposed when he didn't have great players? Come on now, Skip. You know you got to have great players.
When did Phil not have great players?
Phil did. Help me out. The year Jordan retired, the first retirement, they won 55 games. Yeah. Remember that?
So hold on. I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correct. He retired. Jordan, they won 57 in the title. He retired, they went 55. Huh? Now, LeBron last year, they won 50-51 game in Cleveland. How many games did they win this year?
12.
The Bulls really needed Scottie Pippen to take over a game, to rise and shine and be Michael Jordan, what did he do? He had a migraine.
No.
Phil
would not let him take. He wanted Tony Kukoc to take the last shot. And Scottie said,
that's all you need to know.
You make us look. Had that Hugh Hollins call, remember that,
blown.
The Knicks, if the Bulls had even gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone the finals, man, the whole narrative would be different. But you know what?
I need you to flip roles with me tonight. What? I want to root for LeBron, and you get to root for the Spurs.
Dude.
You just said they're going to win.
Nope.
You just want the Spurs to win so that it gives some credibility to LeBron's 20 points in the fourth quarter the other night. Aha!
Hello.
I got you.
20 points in the fourth quarter always give credibility.
If you had the courage of your convictions, you would take the Spurs tonight for a case of Diamond Mountain Dew.
You see what he did, Skip? Yep. He hit him with that first 14. Yep. He said, I'm going to get all y'all about that Kumbaya y'all he was talking about. Hey, cool. Come on over here.
Okay.
Hey, Josh Hart, come on over here. And then he's like, I'll finish it off. Let me get these last five.
Okay.
Get up out of here.
Well, you get to see a replay of that game tonight at San Antonio.
Nah.
Yep. You want it?
We're going to be in cinnamon rolls.
No cases.
We're going to Lulu's. Yeah. Eat the 3-pound cinnamon roll. That crunchy fried chicken.
No guts, no glory.
It's got nothing.
Going
they got to
keep it rolling.
Oh, we're going to keep it rolling.
Today was the day.
Yeah.
I guess not. All right.
Come on. I love LeBron. I need him.
I just want LeBron to start making these free throws, going to get back up to 80% by the All-Star break.
That is over. You should concede that.
I ain't conceding
that. He's 71%. Do you know how hard it's going to be to get to 80? He's going to have to make like 80 of the next 85 free throws.
Well, guess what, Skip? He was at 80 at one point in time, and he got down to 71 by missing. So he'll get back up to 80 by missing.
I want some of that action, Shannon. Yeah.
What?
80% bet.
No. I think you took that bet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you in a Jordan.
No.
Bet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not. Today's not the day.
You gonna get a bet?
Too many bets already.
You gonna be sorry too, Chris.
Chris, good to have you.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend. See you guys Monday.
Facts, sports, one of one.